The parents at my school thought my parents were doping me. They were like, this one is on steroids. Sure. He went to me, you were here for the event? And I went, no, I just like croissants.
Do you see the response I got from this room? If we'd gone to school together, what would you write in my yearbook?
Most likely to be in prison.
Wow.
People stop me in the street and they say, I named my kid Olivia after you. And I'm like, what up, little Libby?
The Sunday Roast, reheated.
With Pete Wicks and Olivia Atwood.
If you are easily offended, move along. This is where people can take a joke and it's podcast time.
Yeah, shall we crack on then?
Let's do it.
This is the Sunday Roast reheated. After the radio, they let us talk absolute smut, basically. And you get to hear it on a Monday, wherever you get your podcasts. Did you know smut was also a dying word?
Do you know what? I think it's such a shame. I think we're bringing it back by having it in the intro to our pod.
Do you think?
Yeah, I hope so. I would like to see smut be alive and well and thriving this time in a few years' time.
Well, I mean, you're iconic, really, aren't you?
Well,
we've discussed this a number
of times.
Things do catch on. So maybe if you could just like add smut to your...
Let me talk to the Huns on Instagram and see if we can get smut in circulation again.
Excellent. Do you know what? It's going to be a smut summer.
Nice.
The Week Roasted.
With Pete Wicks and Olivia Atwood.
Right. This week, we're going to look at all the news that needs roasting. And first up, it's Beyonce. She visits the Cotswolds in a helicopter to house hunt for a mansion.
Oh, do you know what? I just aspire to be that out of touch.
I mean, you're
normality.
Not far off, to be fair.
Am I not? Well,
it wouldn't surprise me if you move. It wouldn't surprise me if you get a helicopter to look for a new pad.
I really hate the traffic. What can I say?
What about the Cotswolds? What do you feel about the Cotswolds?
I feel like nothing. I feel like it's popular with celebrities. Obviously, it's very beautiful. There's nothing there. And I guess they go there for privacy, but...
Johnny Depp loves the Cotswolds.
I like to be near a Selfridges. Like, I'm a department store gal. I don't think I could live in the Cotswolds.
You could just pop the helicopter back to Selfridges and then go back home by helicopter.
That's a whole other level of wealth that we're not at yet.
But imagine being in the Cotswolds, sitting in a pub with Johnny Depp, Beyonce and Jay-Z, Blue Ivy just doing a dance in the corner with a cowboy out on.
With no disrespect to anyone involved, I think I'm good.
I'm just popping down the dog and duck, going to see Jay-Z and Johnny Depp.
So, guys, Tom Hardy surprises gobsmacked parents at Crawley High School Sports Day.
Imagine... First of all, I didn't know Tom Hardy had kids.
I don't know if we should be publicising the school, but we've just done it.
Well, listen, it's in the metro. Blame the metro. Don't worry about us. But
I didn't even know he had kids. And then imagine you're literally there with your kid doing what I imagine has been one of the worst things as a parent, like a sports day, and Tom Hardy rocks up. Things just get interesting, don't they?
Well, you'd be really popular if that was your dad, wouldn't you?
Very.
Do you know what I mean? Like, all the other dads have turned up and they're all there and they're all estate agents or whatever they do, and then suddenly... Venom turns up and you go, there, that's my dad.
Are you taking him on in the dad race if you were a dad?
Absolutely,
would
yeah.
Would you, yeah?
Absolutely, yeah. I'd want to win even more. But imagine just being across the start line and you've got sort of like Barry and Dave and Ron and then Tom Hardy just rocks up.
It's mad. Do you know what we just realised as well? Pete and I have some like quite serious sports day lore. This is not sarcasm. You can actually fact check this. We were both like star... performers on sports day. I used to win everything.
Honestly, you wouldn't believe, if you looked at me and Liv now, you'd think...
Well, my body looks like it can do stuff, but it can't.
From the neck down, yeah, it looks great, but you've paid for most of that. And then from the neck up, you just think car crash. But I was a superstar performer
at
school.
It's mad, isn't it?
To the point where my mum was embarrassed because I used to win so much.
Oh, the parents at my school thought my parents were doping me. They were like, this one is on steroids. She can't be this quick. And I was like, I just am. I'm just very anxious and fast.
So this is just like a little bit of motivation, you know, if you've been to a sports day this week and your kid wasn't very good, don't worry, because the good kids will probably end up like bums, like Liv and I, so it's absolutely fine. Obviously, as this is the podcast, we can do things that are slightly spikier. This week, Liv, France. I was waiting for it. So Liv and I have just been to France this week and she spent 2 days just saying, do it again.
If you go on my social media and watch a reel, you will know there's a poor girl from Miss World and she had an opportunity to go up on stage and say what country she's from.
Yeah, where are you
and
from?
Her voice
America,
went,
Estonia.
America, the UK, France. So that's all I did for 2 days in Cannes.
So they've created this tech where your phone can tell you if you have depression using a selfie camera.
I don't need my phone to tell me that.
I was just about to say.
My medicine cabinet tells me pretty well what my issues are. I don't need to be like accosted by my own phone.
Also, it's probably why my phone cuts out a lot.
Yeah, you'd be diagnosed.
I'm too depressed even for my phone.
Yeah, it's like, how does this work? Like, what if you just have a sad face?
What you're saying is my selfie camera won't be able to tell whether I am depressed or just my face.
Inside of your shell, you're quite resilient person, but at the outside,
it's
looks
all falling
quite,
apart.
Yeah, looks quite like.
Basically, what you're trying to say is I look fucked.
Yeah, that works. Absolutely works.
What about you? I mean, how would it tell with your face? Because obviously
my face doesn't move. Thank God I actually have a psychiatrist on speed dial.
Yeah, it's a different face. I don't know if they'd be able to tell.
Oh, I know. I have a terrible time with ID. I have a terrible time with passports. Like, I've had many an extended customs chat.
What, because they don't believe it's you?
They're saying, where'd you get this passport? I'm like, oh, well, myself, from the office. But this isn't you. What are you here for, madam? I'm like, I'm just here to go on holiday, babe.
I do think, like, this whole tech thing, we were talking about it this week as well, is like AI and all that sort of stuff. It's generally...
I've had enough now.
It scares me.
Do you know what? This is calm it down. Like, let's just all relax, take our foot off the gas. We know we've got it.
You know you're depressed. You don't need your phone to tell you. You know that you're going to rock back and forth and cry later on this evening.
You don't need your phone to tell you. Like, I just think we need to just chill out. We're bringing AI into everything. It's just getting a little bit scary now.
Everyone now, AI has basically become their personality.
Makes your brain very lazy. You see, what we do with our brains is I say we put them through like an assault course.
Oh, we definitely did in Cannes.
By the way, Pete, I've been catching heat online. You're not pronounced the S, it's just can. Like, apparently you don't say Cannes.
Like,
we're such English riffraff. Yeah, it's can.
I mean, you say we're English riffraff. You're not, are you?
I'm boarding school riffraff somehow, but should we tell the listeners? I mean, they've been having it rammed down their throats on my social media, but if you didn't know and you live under a rock, Pete and I went on a advertising trip to go out to Cannes, speak on a panel, you know, about the podcast, the radio show, how we work with advertisers and the rest of it.
And, really, really high market corporate shit.
Yeah, at the Carlton, lovely hotel. Yeah. It's all very highbrow. A lot of famous people there. Alex Earl was there.
A-Rod, Jennifer Lopez's next
Cardi
husband.
Cardi B. It's like a big deal.
Yeah, and if you were going to take two people on a corporate thing, speak in a corporate manner, then the first two people you'd think of is Pete and Liv, because we are as professional as they fucking come.
Yeah, I landed in France.
France.
I'd had a glass of Pinot Grigio and three Bloody Marys, so...
I was on the Guinness at 11.
Yeah, the writing was on the wall for us. But also, this Cannes Lyon Festival, I didn't realise how big it was. The main strip along the beach, I felt like it was in Vegas.
Yeah.
Every single beach club was took over by a different brand, like Pinterest, eBay, Google, whatever.
TikTok.
It was manic. And I just love a kind of manic scene. I lent into it. I felt like I was in Vegas. I just completely forgot why we were there.
If we set the scene, we flew the day before we had work. So we had like a breakfast panel to do.
Yeah.
Which was like 9 a.m. So Liv and I, obviously, you know, we got to Cannes, and am I saying it right now? Cannes.
Yeah, it's just you just,
so we got to Cannes, whatever the fuck it is, at about 5 p.m. But Liv and I decided we'd drink at the airport from 12 p.m, whatever it was. We went straight out because why not? We had one night there, you know what I mean? Like, you might as well just have a few drinks. But we didn't stop drinking until the breakfast panel and drank through the breakfast panel.
I haven't slept, and I'm about to go and talk on a panel in Cannes.
People always ask, like, what's Pete like as a drinking partner? And I'm like, Pete, you're my perfect drinking partner. Like, no one's leaving the party with me and Pete unless they're getting carried out.
Well, actually, that's not technically true, because when Liv and I are drinking, everyone leaves the party, and then the party just becomes Liv and I.
We're so engrossed in, like, ramming these fucking crap stories down each other's throats that we think are so important at the time, we don't notice that anyone's left.
People, listen, we were the life and soul.
I set the scenes. We turn up to this breakfast buffet, there's like basically croissants, right, on this tray going round. I'm not a big croissant girl. I thought, do you know what, fuck it, I haven't eaten
in 2 days. She hasn't had a carb
in years. Yeah, I was like, I'll have a croissant. So I grab a croissant. This guy, he goes, you're here for the event? So, like, looking at me like up and down.
I just want to clarify that he was French. That's what that accent was, just in case you
went to me, you're here for the event? And I went, no, I just like croissants.
Do you see the response it got from this room? That's similar to the response it got to everyone she told that story to. So Liv basically repeated two stories for the entire time that we were in Cannes to anyone that would fucking listen, anyone new to the group, anyone that joined. She basically went, do you like croissants? Let me tell you this funny story. And they all had the same thing. And then if that didn't work, she'd double down. She'd think, no, listen, I've lost the room here. I've got something else that they'll love. So, I'm half German.
Yeah.
And that's literally how it started.
Because our CEO of this company is German, so me and him are connecting over being German. And then he left, and I was still talking about it for 12 hours.
And just to point out as well, like, we were doing this panel with Martin Kemp and Kimberly Walsh.
Who
are absolute legends. Really professional as well. They basically carried us through it. Because as I was being asked questions on the panel in front of this kind of audience, Liv was sat next to me, pinching my leg, just telling me that I look like shit. Pete, what do you think about radio and podcasting, the differences? And I've gone, well, you know, the difference really between this, this and this. And then I just, in my ear, I just said, you look like shit. By the way, while I'm saying this, Liv has got half a bakery stuck between her fucking teeth. Right? She was basically spitting pastry flakes all over my fucking shoulder while saying I look like shit.
I got a glimpse of you and I was like, no, you really look like you look rubbish.
Listen, and that's the sort of friend you need. You know, you need them friends to tell you the truth, don't you?
In all that, the advertising team, they can't get enough. Well, they are. We're on every trip. I've got a message to prove it for one of the big dogs.
Yeah.
She's like, that was the best advertised trip I've ever had. I said, babe, we are like the vibe.
So anyone that's going to do a corporate thing...
Wheel us out.
And if you are going to go and do something and you're worried about like going away with work and that, do what Liv and I do. Get fucking hammered and just be yourself because it seems to work all right.
And also just like, you get to be so hammered that there's like, you don't question if you embarrass yourself because you don't even remember how you got there. So how are you going to worry if you embarrass yourself?
Exactly. It got to the point where I think we were past embarrassing and actually it just became...
I haven't felt shame in years. But that goes back to that depression thing. I've got a tablet for it.
Yeah, to be fair, I'm lucky we didn't have that technology because if we both looked at our phones after the panel, I imagine it would have said, go and see someone.
Oh my God, I was so glad I wasn't wearing my Aura ring. She would have been like, girl.
What the fuck is an Aura ring?
Babe, we've discussed this.
It's like is this the mood thing?
Not mood, it was like tracks your heart rate, your recovery.
I struggle to find one.
It would literally be saying to me, go to a medical centre. Like, I'm so glad it wasn't on my finger.
I've actually got a picture of you from Cannes that looks like you potentially have been to a medical centre. You've got burger hanging out of your mouth.
Oh, nice, yeah. Let's put Cannes in the can and move on.
The Sunday Roast, reheated.
With Pete Wicks and Olivia Atwood.
The Sunday Roast, reheated.
With Pete Wicks and Olivia Atwood.
The Sunday Scaries are probably hitting extra hard today for some people who are completing their GCSEs this week.
That seems like such a long time ago. The word, I mean, it is for me, it's 20 years.
What was the deal then? Was it like a chalkboard and a... How did you complete them?
To be honest with you, I barely completed mine. I remember it being like just the best feeling because you had such a long summer. I mean,
that
I didn't
summer
really,
was electric.
Yeah, I didn't really know what I was going to do in my life at that point.
No, definitely, you know, give it your all, but don't be too nervous because look, we really screwed the pooch on that and we've turned out all right.
Yeah, we did. We screwed the pooch, which is one of the weirdest sentences I've ever heard, and I'm not sure if that is a real thing or you've just made that up. So maybe do actually try and do well this week. Otherwise, you will be 20 years later using phrases like screwed the pooch.
Let's go back. I want to know, like, who was Pete Wicks when he was 16?
Oh, Pete was a complete prick.
Describe him as well, like, physically. What did you look like?
Weirdly enough, I was quite athletic, Liv. But I had a skinhead.
Any tattoos yet?
Yes, I had tattoos.
Wow.
Yeah, I had a couple. I started young with the old tattoos because I thought it was cool. But I was quite a deep child because I just had a load of fucking Wally quotes put on me. My first ever tattoos is never enough. Yeah.
So deep.
I was a knobhead, if I'm honest with you. Bit of a prick, quite cocky, quite loud. I do think that was my prime. Because from there, it's been a slow road to death from the age of 16 onwards.
I was like a skinny, like a rat, like I needed to be somebody to feed me. And I had bleached white hair. Like, it was so bleached that, like, honestly, how I've got a single hair on my head. Like, it was like I used to bleach it myself.
We fake tanning at that point, yeah.
I was fake tanning, I was sunbedding.
Wow.
I just looked, we was at boarding school, think St.
That's where you lost me.
And I was like the bad one, basically.
You was like the naughty kid?
Yeah, I was always the ringleader, so I got sent home from school quite a bit and stuff. So GCSEs, I was in and out. I sat a few.
Do you think you and I would have been mates at 16?
I wasn't really mates with boys.
What?
Like, you would have had to be gay for me to be your friend.
We've been friends for a long time. What age do you think that would have changed where you and I would have started to become mates?
I think if it wasn't because of, like, work, I don't know if we would be...
Fucking hell. Hold on, there's me going around, yeah, listen, Liv's like, I fucking love her, she's such a good pal of mine. And basically, effectively, you're in the backside of that, just going, he's a colleague.
No, that's a lie, I was just being silly. But yeah, after school, I started to mature a little bit, I started to be friends.
Did you? And at what age did you kind of revert back into the immature prick that I see in
reverted,
front of me?
I have reverted, haven't I? It makes you think about your kind of firsts as well, doesn't it? Is there any firsts that you'd want to do again and any that you wouldn't want
to? To be honest with you, Liv, and I don't think this is a surprise, I've done it all by 16.
But do you remember the firsts of stuff?
I'll tell you what, after school, the only thing that I could concentrate on was driving as soon as possible.
Mm.
That was the thing for me, that was like the next thing. And I passed my driving test literally a week after my 17th birthday. As soon as I could, I was just like, nah, get me in a car. I didn't go away that summer. I was working on a building site.
You probably weren't allowed out of the country already by that point. I think we did a really like public school Sloaney thing that you do, is you go to this place in Portugal because everyone's parents has a house there.
Really?
I wish I was joking, but it's terrible. And there's this one nightclub. But I'm just going to shout out Geckos in Val de Lobo because someone listening will know the lore of Geckos.
It's probably closed down now.
It's not. I swear to God, because it's like this ritual passage of these like posh kids that just like have their parents set them to do what they want. They let you in at like 15, 16.
Big shout out to Geckos there, which is now going to be closed down after that.
No, but everyone knows the lore of Geckos. It's weird because I was talking to friends that got sisters and they're like, they still do the post GCSE trip to Val de Lobo and Geckos are still there.
Obviously, we went to completely different types of school. Like, you went to like a boarding school and that. Did they do that thing, you know, like your last day of school where people sign each other's shirts and all that shit?
Yeah, we did like sign that and then I think, oh God, I was such a like, geeky sport girl. I used to have my netball signed.
What?
Like, I was like in the A team for netball, so I had to sign my netball. Like, everyone
signed. You got people to sign your netball. Have you kept it?
No, fuck have I kept it? I fucking deflated it that afternoon. We did all that crap.
Are you like an exam person? Did you worry about GCSEs?
Like, at that time, my ADHD was so bad and I was unmedicated because somehow someone had still not been able to diagnose me.
Of you unmedicated.
My worst thing was like to be put in the school hall and then the door's shut and it's fucking silence for 4 hours. I'm thinking I'm going to shout something out.
Intrusive thoughts.
Yeah, like I would start sweating and thinking, like, what am I going to do here? I can't be trusted to be in this silent room for 4 hours. That was the most stressful part for me.
I was quite good at exams. It was all the coursework and all the other stuff that I was no good at, but just I've got a weird memory for stupid shit, so I didn't mind it. But then after like GCSEs and all that crap, everyone normally has a prom, don't they?
Yes.
Is that when you do proms?
Yes.
I didn't go to a prom.
So neither did I.
I wasn't allowed.
Our parallels are really quite creepy at this point. I actually need to fact check this. I've got a feeling they took the prom away for our year for the first time in history.
Because you were such pricks.
It was such a bad year. And I remember that it was threatened towards the end of the year, like, you can't be trusted with prom. And yeah, I'm pretty sure they'd cancelled it. They said, you're not having one. Like, I mean, we're so sick of you. Someone will get pregnant. So we're cancelling it.
Was it that bad?
Yeah, we were bad. We were in the news. The Sun newspaper did like a piece on us, like this boarding school out of control.
It's amazing, isn't it, that Sun is still writing that you're out of control 25
oh my God,
years
that's
later.
That's actually just so nostalgic. Like, it's, yeah, that's a full circle moment for me and the Sun.
Yeah, aww. Amazing. I mean, at the end of the year as well, I don't know, is this an American thing, this yearbook stuff?
I remember a thing where there was photos and people wrote most likely to. Like, most likely to become a footballer, most likely to become prime minister. Do you know what I mean?
Please tell me what you're most likely.
No, but we talked about this before. I'm sure mine said most likely. To be famous. Which
wow.
Is so embarrassing.
Wow.
But they were actually aggressively on it. I mean, I'm not famous yet, but we're trying.
If we'd gone to school together and there was a picture of me, what would you write in my yearbook?
Most likely to be in prison.
Wow.
I don't know. I was trying to think what you were like at school.
I was the kid that used to go out like over night time and go and sit in the pub and that and then go to school the next day. Yeah. I was always the first kid to do everything.
Yeah, I'll stand by my choice then.
Prison. Okay, wonderful.
There's another little chat section here we wanted to lean into for 5 seconds. A lot of people are talking about baby names at the moment.
Fuck.
Machine Gun Kelly finally reveals his daughter's unique name months after giving birth with Megan Fox. The name is, I'm reading it this way, Saga Blade Fox Baker.
I mean, I imagine they've probably only just revealed it because it's such a fucking bad name they didn't want to tell anyone.
Which one of the names, Saga, Blade or Fox, do you think is the worst? Because I think Baker's obviously the same.
Well, in order, because I think they're all fucking horrific. So in order, Saga, then Blade for a girl and Fox. I mean,
just
Blade
like
for a boy ain't no better.
Blade's
like,
a dog's
unless
name.
You're a fucking gladiator, I don't know why you'd be called Blade.
Sia called her daughter Somersault Wonder Bernard.
I mean, I imagine that's because of the fringe and she couldn't
that's
see what she
awful.
Was writing
that,
because that is stupid.
What about Kim K's kids, Northwest, St. West, Chicago West and Psalm West? West is a surname, obviously.
Thank you for clarifying that. I mean, it did confuse me.
I actually quite like Saint.
I just think people should have normal fucking names.
Oh, no.
Like, they're lost. You don't see babies called Kevin anymore.
But I think
right?
That's fine. I don't think Kevin's a particularly alluring name.
I mean, no one's called Pete.
Well,
I don't particularly like my name.
The rabbit was massive for you, Peter.
See where you're going there. Peter Rabbit.
You need like an icon for the name. I'm just going to tell you one thing and just do what you want with the information. When I was called Olivia, I was basically named after Olivia Newton-John, essentially. That's where my mum got the name from. And it was an unusual name at the time. And I remember all my childhood, people used to go, oh, my God, that's such an unusual name. Oh, my God, I could have Olivia Newton-John. 6 years in a row, right, Olivia has been the top baby name. You tell me there's not a correlation between that and me being on Love Island 8 years ago, because I'm sorry, it's facts.
So,
facts.
Okay, all right. So yet again, this is Liv's...
This is just data. Like, I'm not even trying to push a narrative.
You're just setting trends.
But I'm just saying, 8 years ago on Love Island, 6 years in a row, top baby name in the UK. You cannot tell me there's not a connection.
I mean, I can. There isn't
a
connection.
And I'm actually, people stop me in the street and they say, I named my kid Olivia after you. And I'm like, what up, little Livy? Like,
up, little Livy? But you know what's mad is that people tell me that they name their dogs after me. I don't get
well,
people
there you
don't
go.
Name.
I've got actual human people. They're going to have legacies and you know, could be the next prime minister. But dogs are
no,
cool.
No, don't be so fucking stupid. However, I am going to tell you this, and we actually discussed this before. I was asked recently if I had kids, like, had I ever thought of names of what my kids would be?
Oh, yeah,
and
this
I
always, is weird.
This is a little bit weird because, you know, we've known each other a long time and I didn't know this until last week. But if I had a daughter, I really like the name Olive.
Great name.
No, not Olivia, Olive.
No, but what I then told Pete, and I backed it up by showing him, is that my sister and my brother have, since they were born, called me Olive. Because when they were born, Olivia was like too much for them to say, so they always just said Olive. So if you were ever in a family situation with my sister and brother, my sister would be like, Olive. Like, she would never call me Olivia.
Well, I didn't think you could fuck up any other parts of my life. And as it now happens, my hypothetical daughter, you've now ruined it for me, where for future reference, I can no longer call my fucking daughter Olive. So I'm going to have to think of something else now because you completely and utterly fucked it.
She'd already have her own issues caught out of you as her father.
That's so true. What about you? If you had a little boy, what would you name him? Have you got any names
Pete,
in mind?
I was going to be so fucking real for you right now. At the moment, I just... The idea of kids icks me out, but I have the names.
Oh, you do actually? Oh, you're not going to... Okay, don't...
Come on, look what happens. They've got the whole fucking walking around being called Olivia. I can't give up about my baby names. They start stealing them.
Okay, you need to tell me after.
You hear a name, I like it, I write it down.
You write it down?
Yeah, you know, if I don't use it for a baby, I'll use it on a dog.
Yeah.
I've got a memory like a fucking sieve, so I hear something. I write everything down in my notes here, to be fair, everything. Like, if I hear a restaurant, I think it's cool. Like, yeah, I have a list in my notes. And every time I see one child, some ugly little, no, I'm joking, some little shit, they're called that name, I take it off my list.
I mean, you don't have to say joking, because there are some real ugly kids knocking about.
Yeah, it's right. Actually, we should normalise that. It's not their fault.
Bless them.
It's their parents' fault.
Yeah, but do you know what's mad? It's like the ugly duckling thing. Like, they're going to know I'm talking about them, but I have told them the kid's ugly, so it don't matter. Some friends of mine had kids and they're really, really lovely. Like, they're really attractive, both of them. But fuck me, that kid is...
But let's hear this as well, though. Sometimes the ugliest babies grow into really good-looking
and
adults.
And this is what I was going to get to, because actually...
And vice versa.
As the kids got older, they've grown into the ears or everything. Actually, a really beautiful kid. But I feel like babies all look the same.
Also, I love as well people that like, kind of peaked in school. And
yeah.
I think...
I am one of them.
You
people
aged here. Like milk. Karma!
Yeah, that is true, actually.
Me and my best friend who went to primary school together, she'll send me photos and she'll be like, oi, get on this. I'm like, come on. Come on. And let's see the husband. Yeah.
Yeah. Talking of peaking, what age do you think was your peak, or do you think you've hit it yet?
Like, not today, I'm in a terrible way today, but I actually feel like I've done one of these. I actually feel I'm coming into a new era. I always knew 30s were going to be good for me, but I feel like mid-30s are going to be good for me.
Oh, so you think mid-30s, it could be...
Yeah, I feel like I've spent all the right money, I'm doing most of the right things. I just feel like, yeah, I feel good. Like, my mid-20s, I was, like, stereotypically hot, but, like, I also just was, like, fucking... dirty.
God, I must have had my eyes closed through most of your mid-20s.
This has gone so off piece. We need to wrap the fuck up. Our producer has gone from putting his head in his hands, his head's been on the desk.
People always think when someone laughs that it's a good thing, but I can tell now with Tom that it's a nervous laugh.
It's pure fear. For all of our
there you go. There you go. You all just heard it. It's a nervous laugh.
We need to get these cards destroyed.
Well, that was the Sunday roast.
It was.
Reheated.
If you thought it was good, worth a rating, go and leave a comment. Roast us if you want. Make it brutal with maybe a 5-star review. That would be perfect.
Yeah, that would be amazing. We love a review.
And we will see you this time next week.
If they keep us on air.
Big if.
The Sunday Roast, Reheated.
With Pete Wicks and Olivia Atwood.